Good morning. This is the Story Shop, and I'm Aunt Sally.
And I'm Princess Tamalpa. Gee, Aunt Sally, wouldn't it be fun to invite all our listeners to a Christmas party?
That would be fun, but we don't have time. Wait, I've got an idea. I know a story about a very unusual Christmas party.
And we can invite all our listeners to that one.
This is the story of a surprising Christmas. High on a hill in San Francisco, California, lived three grown-up sisters. Years ago, when they were very young children, their father had nicknamed them Tweedle, Deedle, and Button. Tweedle was so named because she loved to wear her mother's big tweed coat. Tweed is a scratchy woolen fabric, but Tweedle didn't care. She felt like a mommy when she wore it. Tweedle was the eldest. Deedle was so named because of the way she would dance around the house humming to herself.
Deedle, deedle, dum, deedle, dum, deedle, dum.
Button was the youngest, and as her father would say,
as cute as a button.
What were Tweedle, Deedle, and Button's real names? After all these years, no one could quite remember. Christmas was coming. Tweedle, Deedle, and Button were sitting in their parlor after dinner, drinking tea, and wondering what to do this year. They had already decorated their gigantic old Victorian house with 1,927 different colored lights. They had already taken a trip to the country and chopped down a pine tree 17 feet tall and placed it in the living room window, decorated, of course, with 3,596 miniature blinking lights, 63 crystal angels, 79 silver snowmen, 30 white feathered doves, 25 red satin bows, 14 strands of popcorn and cranberries, and one large golden star on top. They had already done their Christmas shopping, piles of different colored presents with different colored bows nestled under the glimmering tree. Each had the name of a friend or neighbor on it. They had already set up the manger scene on the sideboard and finished all their Christmas baking, sewing, and card writing. What else was there to do? Deedle set down her cup.
I've got it, sisters. Let's have a party.
Yes, Deedle, yes. That's a splendid idea, don't you think, Tweedle?
Now, little Button, think. There are only 5 days until Christmas. How could we possibly organize a party so quickly? As usual, Deedle, your idea is good, but impossible.
Oh, don't be so stuffy, Tweedle. All we have to do is call up our friends and invite them.
I'm not being stuffy, Deedle. Merely practical. But you never listen to me anyway, so go ahead and call.
Hello?
Hello, Gertrude. This is Deedle. Won't you come to a party my sisters and I are giving? It's to be a Christmas Eve party.
Oh, darling, I'd love to, but I couldn't possibly. We're flying to England tomorrow and won't be back until January. Sorry, dear.
Hello?
Oh, Lillian, this is Deedle. We're planning a little party Christmas Eve and...
Deedle, honey, how sweet of you to think of us. But we're already going somewhere Christmas Eve. Thanks so much anyway. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Good evening, Taylor's residence.
James, tell Mrs. Taylor Deedle's on the phone.
I'm sorry, the Taylors have gone south for the winter. Would you care to leave a message?
No, that's all right. Goodbye.
Merry Christmas, ma'am.
Merry Christmas.
Deedle returned to the parlor with a sad face.
You see, what did I tell you? It's too late for a party.
The three sisters sat quietly until Button looked over at the manger scene on the sideboard. If only our aunts and uncles and cousins didn't live so far away.
Yes, Button, dear. Michigan is dreadfully distant from San Francisco. But look at the bright side. We don't have snow here. Now, isn't that wonderful? No more blustery winds or frozen fingers. No more skating at the pond and sledding or making snowmen.
We must have a party or we'll all become gloomy. Now the question is, whom do we invite?
Oh, who could that be at this late hour? It's almost 9 o'clock.
I'll get it, my dears.
What took you so long? My nose and toes, it's cold out here. Snow or no snow?
Oh, well, please won't you come in?
Course I'll come in. Why do you think I'm standing on your doorstep? I'm not selling vacuum cleaners, you know.
Who is it, Tweedle? Oh!
Good evening, one and all. Yes, I would like a hot cup of milk and a cookie, thank you.
Quickly, sister, get a cup for Mr.
Gnome's the name. G-N-O-M-E, Mr. Gnome. I'm a home gnome, you know. My job is to keep homes bright and cheery, especially at this time of year.
Tweedle and Deedle sat staring at the curious little man who had made himself quite comfortable on the reclining chair next to the fireplace. He certainly looked like a gnome, with his pointed red hat and pointed green shoes. He wore a shiny golden suit and was no bigger than a child, but had a bushy white beard that almost completely covered his fat little tummy. Button came in with drinks and cookies for everyone, for she wouldn't have the little man feeling uncomfortable eating all by himself.
Thank you kindly, lass.
After he had eaten 12 cookies, Mr. Gnome spoke.
Delicious! Who's the cook?
I am!
So Button's the cook. And a good thing, too, for we'll need a fine cook for the party.
Party?
Sure. Why else do you think I'd come all the way to San Francisco 5 days before Christmas? Hey, what's the matter? Cat got your tongues? We're going to have a party, the likes of which you've never seen. You like kids?
Of course.
Just a minute, Deedle. They can be hard on the upholstery and leave sticky fingerprints on the walls and doorknobs.
Oh, Tweedle, how can you say such things? Why, some of my best friends are children.
My dear Button, anyone who spends her time at parks and zoos and the exploratorium the way you do cannot avoid having child friends.
But I like...
Enough. We'll have 60 kids.
60?
Don't worry. I'll tell them to wash their hands. Now, how about royalty? You know, kings and queens, princes and princesses.
Well, we did entertain the Royal Duke of Bologna once, or was it the Royal Duke of Salami?
I think it was Salami.
No, no, sisters, I made out the invitations, and I think it was...
So you like kings and queens and such. Okay, how about animals?
Animals?
Sure, I've got this great little group called... You mean like a cat?
Or a puppy? I've always wanted a puppy for Christmas.
I beg your pardon, but what of the carpets? I mean, animals do have a way with carpets.
Don't worry, Miss Tweedle. At Christmas, all these animals are housebroken. In fact, this little group I was talking about already lives in a house. Now, to get on with our guest list.
The curious little man was standing, warming his back by the fire while he checked off the list of party guests. The list he held was so long it reached the floor and curled like a scroll between his feet.
How about witches, trolls, and giants?
Absolutely not.
Oh, Tweedle, why not?
I will not have riffraff at any party of mine. I'm the eldest, and our dear departed parents left me in charge of you, and I'll not have you associating with such characters.
Scratch witches, trolls, and giants. A wise choice, but you may be asking for trouble. How about elves, fairies, pixies, and angels?
Now, that's more like it.
Splendid!
Oh, I can't wait. When will our party be?
On Christmas Eve, of course. See you then. By the way, all these folks love minestrone soup and French bread. Goodbye.
With that, the little man faded away into thin air. The last to disappear was his red pointed hat. Minestrone soup? French bread?
Well, Button, do you have a recipe for such a soup?
Mother didn't leave us a recipe for minestrone soup, only borscht and chicken and rice and beef barley and...
Ask Mary.
Mary? Mary who? Mr. Gnome, come back, Mr. Gnome!
Well, we'll just have to manage without that curious little man. I'm sure you can do it, Button. You're so handy in the kitchen. Oh, 60 children. I'll have to go out first thing in the morning and buy a case of hand soap.
For the next 4 days, Tweedledeedle and Button cooked and cleaned. The only problem in all the preparations was the soup. Button was having trouble.
I just can't seem to get this right, Tweedle. Here, taste.
Oh, dear. That will never do. Try again, sister.
So Button returned to the kitchen. A few hours later, she held a spoonful of soup up for Deedle.
Here, Deedle, taste this. This is the 10th time I've tried.
Eh! Try again.
Finally, Christmas Eve came. Button was still trying, but everything else was ready.
Everything is clean, and there's a bar of soap for every child.
There are always last-minute things to do, Deedle. Look sharp. They'll be here soon. There's not a moment to spare.
Oh, dear, only my soup needs help, and I'm worn out with trying.
Well, Button, dear, we have plenty of French bread and trays of sweet cakes and cookies for dessert. Why don't you take a break? Climb the stairs and watch for our guests. Now I must go fluff the pillows in the parlor.
Button nodded her head, too tired to argue. She climbed the long, winding stairway to the top story of their old Victorian house and sat down by the window.
San Francisco is so beautiful. I'm glad we live on top of a hill. I can see such a long way, all the way to the Golden Gate Bridge. Look at that fog tumbling in like a giant wave, with the sun setting behind it. Oh, I'm so tired.
Button? Button, wake up. It's Mary.
Oh, I must have dozed off. Who are you? You're dressed like... What did you say your name was?
I'm Mary.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, should I bow or kiss your hand? What do I do?
Show me the soup. I've come to help you with the soup. The soup, remember?
Oh, excuse me, I didn't mean to stare. The soup. Yes, follow me.
When Button and Mary reached the bottom of the stairs, Button stopped short. There were her sisters looking for all the world as if they were playing freeze tag and someone had just yelled freeze. They appeared to have frozen just as they were running to answer the door. Their faces were held in the happy look of people whose guests have finally come. They turned not a head, nor batted an eye as Button came up to them.
Sisters? Sisters?
Don't worry about them, Button. They'll be all right. They're simply caught on the run.
Caught on the run? What do you mean?
I mean we're using a moment in time to fix your soup. I only have a moment to spare, and I'm giving it to you.
But why aren't my sisters moving? Why can't they see you or me?
Because they're too busy. Only you took time out to notice the fog and the sunset. It's in those quiet times I can come. It's only for people with a moment to spare to whom I can come. And when I arrive, I expand the moment.
Expand the moment?
I stretch it like a rubber band. That's why your sisters don't see us. What seems like many minutes to you will snap back and be but a wink of an eye to them.
But...
Button?
Yes?
Where's the soup?
I almost forgot. This way. I'm so glad you could come.
Deedle, dear, did you hear a knock?
I believe so, Tweedle.
Good evening. I'm Sister Aloysius, and these are the children from the orphanage. It's so good of you to have them. They had been so gloomy before your invitation. Take off your hats, children, and say good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Through the door came a line of 10 children in scarves, jackets, and stocking caps.
8, 9... 10? Only 10. Only 10. Good evening, all. The bathroom is down the hall and to your left.
Tweedle was just about to close the door when she heard another small voice.
Merry Christmas, Miss Tweedle. I brought my mother and grandmother. Luckily, we didn't meet any wolves on the way.
My goodness, Deedle, do you suppose this is...
Little Red Riding Hood.
Hi, and I'm Jack. I brought my mother, too, and our magic harp.
Why, thank you, Jack. I'm sure we will all enjoy hearing your harp after dinner.
Merry Christmas. I'm Little Bo Peep, and I'm afraid I lost my sheep somewhere in the city.
Don't worry, Bo Peep. You know they always find their way home. Hi, I'm little Jack Horner, and I brought you a Christmas pie.
Why, thank you, Jack. Now who's this? Another Jack?
Yeah, I'm Jack.
And I'm Jill. We held hands all the way up this hill so we wouldn't fall down.
It was easier this time because we weren't carrying a pail.
More and more children flooded through the doorway of the giant Victorian house. They had names like Little Boy Blue, Little Jumping Joan, Little Polly Flinders, Georgie Porgy, Wee Willie Winky, Simple Simon, and Miss Muffet.
The bathroom is down the hall, and there's plenty of soap, everyone.
And still the children kept coming. In came Oliver Twist and David Copperfield, Tiny Tim and the Cratchit children, Hansel and Gretel, Snow White and Rose Red, and Dick Whittington and his cat. In they came, greeting Tweedle and Deedle as long-lost friends, asking if they might help in any way, ooing and awing over the sparkling decorations, the beautiful tree, the warm, yummy smells, and never once trailing their hands along the walls nor jumping on the furniture. The children from the orphanage had eyes as big as dinner plates as Sister Aloysius seated them and their storybook friends around the living room and served them all hot apple cider from the bowl on the sideboard. Tweedle was pleased.
I've never seen such well-mannered children.
And still they kept coming. Thumbelina, Aladdin and his lamp, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, the 12 dancing princesses, and many dukes and duchesses, kings and queens. As King Arthur and Queen Guinevere passed, Tweedle and Deedle heard the tinkling and clinkling of tiny bells and saw many tiny lights blinking and winking outside their door.
Look, Tweedle, the elves and pixies have come. Aren't they cute? Come in. Yes, come on, it's okay, come in.
And in they came, elves, pixies, fairies, brownies, hopping, skipping, flying, dancing, giggling, laughing, and wishing Tweedle and Deedle a fine holiday. Tweedle was again about to close the door when...
Yes? Oh, it's you, Mr. Gnome. This time I won't keep you waiting in the cold.
Quite right. Musicians must never be kept in the cold.
Musicians? I see no one but a donkey, a cat, a dog, and a rooster.
Best band in Bremen Town. Had to book 'em way in advance. Come on in, fellas.
A donkey? A rooster? But...
Don't worry. They brought their own instruments. Over by the tree, folks.
Well, that is pleasant. Not at all what I expected.
One of the best things about Christmas is the element of surprise. How's the soup?
I'm afraid we won't be having soup, Mr. Gnome. You see...
Just then Button came down the hallway from the kitchen. No soup? But sister, why ever not?
Button, dear, I know how hard you tried, but we must be honest with Mr. Gnome. Just a moment before the guests arrived, I thought we had decided the soup had failed and French bread and dessert would have to do.
Well, sister, I used that moment to good purpose. Not only is the soup done, but a turkey's roasted, gravy's made, and the salad's on the table. I must admit I didn't do it alone. Mary came by. She'll be back later on.
Mary who? How? When?
Christmas is just full of surprises.
As if in response to the little man's words, the room suddenly started shaking.
An earthquake! Hurry, children! Everyone, under tables, into doorways. Get away from the windows!
Everyone quickly scuttled under the tables and into the doorways, giggling with excitement as they went. The chandeliers swayed and jangled, as did the Christmas tree. But the rumbling wasn't grumbling like an earthquake. It was bumping and thumping like great heavy footsteps in the distance. Just then, one of the little storybook guests popped up. I'm Hop on My Thumb, and I've heard that noise before. It's a giant wearing 7-league boots. Those are magic boots which make every step it takes 7 leagues wide. He'll be here in no time. Now there was concern, for many of the guests had had bad experiences with the giants. Suddenly the lights went out. The front door blew open with a bang. Down the hallway and into the living room crept the witches and goblins. They snarled and snapped at the children, pushing them roughly out of the way. King Arthur drew his sword, but was frozen solid on the spot by a witch's spell.
dark.
Yeah, and their breath smells like garbage.
As they tore the wreath from the wall, Tweedle stepped in.
I say, just what do you think? Mr. Gnome, what are we to do? They're jumping on the furniture and running their grimy hands along the walls, and they're scaring the children.
It looks as though they're angry for being left out.
Well, I have the right. This is my house. What's that? It sounds as though something were in the basement. Oh, no!
Yep, it must be the trolls. Nasty bunch when they're mad.
The goblins are dumping the hot cider under the floor. Quickly, children, to this side of the room.
My carpets!
Now they're after the presents and grabbing the little figures in the manger scene. Stop! Stop!
Look, they've stopped. It looks like they're listening to something.
Listen, sisters. The thumping in the basement has stopped.
And the giant's footsteps, they've stopped too.
Look how the witches and goblins are listening. Open the door, Tweedle.
The door? Of course, for the carolers outside.
These were no ordinary neighbors caroling on a Christmas Eve. As Tweedle opened the door, she was greeted by...
St. Nicholas, ho, 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 and a Merry Christmas to you, Tweedle. I've brought some friends of mine.
Santa Lucia.
King Wenceslaus.
St. Christopher.
St. Luke.
In full voice they came, singing, kissing Tweedle on the cheek or shaking her hand, then proceeding into the living room. Then St. Nicholas introduced some more.
These are some friends who watch over this area.
St. Clair.
St. Matthew.
St. Bruno.
St. Anselm. Now it was the witches and goblins who were cowering under the tables as the singing saints touched King Arthur and unfroze him and gave each guest a candle to light up the dark living room. Then all the saints stood in front of the Christmas tree. As they sang, before them appeared a shimmering light that grew brighter and brighter, until in its glow there stood a magnificent angel with a flaming sword in his hand. When he spoke, it was like a cannon to the wicked ones, but like an organ to the good.
I am Raphael, the archangel, guardian of health. All witches and goblins, come forth. With the power of children, both young and old, I will cleanse you of your wickedness bold, impatience, fear, anger, and greed, shouting, snarling, screaming, all feed on hustle and hurry and having no time, and need the masterful strength from gentle children born to restore you to health. And so before morn do a good deed. Give a gift from your heart, not just from a store, to one who is sad, lonely, or sore. In the name of the child born this night, out I command you, out into the night. Before the sun breaks over the hills, do your good deeds and be cured of your ill.
Look, he's gone!
And so are the witches and goblins. Thank goodness!
But someone else is in there.
Sure enough. St. Raphael had gone, but in the circle of light there appeared three other people, a father and a mother holding her newborn baby. They were sitting on the floor next to a box filled with straw. The mother and father were dressed in long robes, while the baby was wrapped snugly in strips of cloth. From the group of singing saints, St. Luke stepped forward and said,
And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger.
And that's just what the mother did with the baby. She placed him gently in the box filled with straw, then greeted everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone. My name's Mary. Thank you for inviting us. Joseph and I enjoy returning to that most wonderful night so many years ago when our baby Jesus was born.
Yes, of course. Do come in. The shepherds and kings have come.
And St. Luke continued,
And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
After the kings had presented their gifts, Mary asked one of the shepherds to watch over the sleeping baby while she and Joseph joined the other guests at dinner. As they were all walking to the dining room, Tweedle thought she overheard Mary ask Button about the soup. After dinner, everyone came back to the living room and sat around telling stories, reciting nursery rhymes, or singing Christmas carols. Jesus, like any newborn baby, slept through most of it. Then, as the clock struck midnight, Tweedledeedle and Button saw Mr. Gnome leave his place by the fire to stand beside the manger.
It's time to say goodnight to Sister Aloysius.
Kings and queens, elves and fairies and pixies, and all the children from Storybook Land waved goodbye as Sister Aloysius ushered her tired but happy children out the door.
And now we too must go. Merry Christmas, Tweedledeedle and Button.
Merry Christmas!
Then, as Tweedledeedle and Button waved, all the guests disappeared, little by little, like morning fog. The last to go was Mr. Gnome in his red hat, green shoes, and shiny golden suit. Slowly he began to float. Right to the top of the tree he floated, and then, poof, he disappeared too. The next morning, Christmas, the sisters peeked into the living room.
You see, sisters, it was all a dream.
Everything is all in order. Not at all as though there had been a party.
Look, sisters, look at the star.
There, on top of the tree, glimmered the shiny golden star, and on top of the star was a tiny red hat. Just then the sisters thought they heard a familiar voice say,
"Christmas is just full of surprises."
Well, Princess Tamalpa, how did you like that party?
It was great. You'd never get all those people in one place again.
Well, there is one other place where they do all come together.
And where's that?
At the public library.
You're right. And they have so many books on Christmas. I hope you listeners will have a chance to visit the library closest to you this Christmas vacation.
Good idea. And now it's time to go.
Merry Christmas, everyone!